Well, welcome back to Pastor's Roundtable. Joining me this week is our senior minister, Derek Thomas. Derek, welcome.
Hey, Josh.
And our minister to seniors, Brian Bolt. Brian, welcome.
Hey, Josh. Good to be with you.
Okay, so we kind of hinted at this last week, but this week, and I wish Gabe were here. Gabe isn't here. He's working on something, and then our Pastor Lawton is out. So it's just the three of us. But we hinted at talking about how it is that we come up with the texts and or topics that we teach and preach on. So this is a continuation of the email with questions that I got last week. So Derek, how about you? You mind kicking us off and talk about how it is that you decide what you're going to preach and or teach on?
Yeah, this is a great question, and it has many different facets by way of an answer. Mm. So first of all, I've been a preacher for 40-something, 5 years or so, and in all three congregations that I've been associated with, there has been a morning and an evening service as well as midweek, and that provides three different opportunities to preach and teach, and therefore that you can do variety of things. So if you're in the Old Testament in the morning, you can be in the New Testament in the evening.
Right.
But if you've only got one service, as a lot of churches do, and you barely have a midweek, and certainly not a sermon midweek, so you've only got one shot.
Yeah.
And supposing you're committed to, say, lecture continua preaching through books. And
right.
I'll come back to that in a minute. And you say, okay, I'm going to be in Romans, and you're going to be in Romans for like 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, the diet is wrong.
Yeah.
So I really am glad, for a whole variety of reasons, not least my doctrine of the Sabbath.
Right.
I really am glad that there is a morning and evening, even if in this church two different preachers are doing it, but Gabe and I will talk about what we're doing so that I'm not constantly mimicking or duplicating whatever he happens to be in at the moment. You know, when I first started preaching, I was committed to preaching through books. Mm. So consecutive expository preaching, verse by verse.
Yeah, chapter by chapter, yep.
Chapter 1, verse 1, until the last verse of the last chapter of that book.
Mm-hmm.
I think every now and then, especially in the summer, when I was in a congregation where there was no continuity in the summer.
Yeah.
The beach was 30 minutes away.
Right.
And I did more textual preaching in those summer months. And textual preaching is really difficult. And it's really difficult if you don't, as in Britain, you don't advertise in advance the titles of the sermons.
Right.
So that they don't really know. If you're doing textual preaching, the congregation doesn't actually know what the text is next week.
Right.
And I experienced more than one time Saturday Night Fever because I'd already picked four texts and none of them kind of did anything for me.
Right.
And so it's Saturday evening and I'm now looking at text number five.
Yep.
And that's just horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, Spurgeon spent his entire life preaching textually.
Yeah. Which is to find topics and then texts.
And it would be interesting to know how Spurgeon chose his texts.
Yeah.
But for me, it's not choosing the text so much as choosing the book. Because the text then becomes the next pericope.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and one does have to make a decision. Do I preach on three verses or five verses or 10 verses? And I think that you need to have some kind of whole, generally speaking. This is a definable section within the book.
Right.
I mean, I certainly have in the past read a commentary on, say, 2 Corinthians and really, really loved it. And I thought, I'm going to preach on 2 Corinthians.
Right.
Which isn't the best reason for preaching on 2 Corinthians. I think you need to ask yourself, you know, what does the congregation need right now?
Right.
And that question isn't as simple as it sounds, because it's already hearing stuff in Sunday schools. It's already hearing stuff in the evening service. And so what does the morning congregation need to hear?
Right.
And I think that preachers, you know, exegete not just the scriptures, but they exegete the audience.
Mm.
And the Sunday morning audience or the Sunday morning congregation, I should say, here at First Pres is different from the Sunday evening congregation. I mean, pre-COVID, everything is pre-COVID.
Right.
And for sure, you know, there are nuanced considerations about people who are passing through trials. You know, you don't do a whole series just because one person is passing through a trial.
Right.
But, you know, COVID is an example. Yeah. COVID is stressful. People need comforting.
Right.
They don't need to be beaten on the head in COVID because they're already beaten on the head.
Yeah.
What they need, I think, is comfort, exhortation, to persevere.
Yeah.
You know, where do you do that? And so, you know, the series on lockdown with nowhere to go sort of came out of that. I was trying to minister to people in this crazy season that we're in.
Right.
Sometimes the answer, you know, comes because I will have four or five requests.
Mm.
It doesn't happen that often, but I do sometimes get requests. I had one recently about preaching through Proverbs, which I've never done, and I don't know how to do it.
Right. It's such a scattershot sort of approach,
I could preach maybe a dozen sermons on Proverbs, collecting groups of Proverbs together.
Yeah.
But preaching through the book of Proverbs would be incredibly difficult to do.
Yes.
I have a sort of running theory in my head that somewhere in the life of the congregation, we should be looking at a gospel all the time.
Right.
Or most of the time.
Right.
I think if the congregation isn't in a gospel in 10 years, there's probably something askew.
Yeah.
But that would be very difficult if all I had was one service to preach at.
Yeah, yeah. So we have been through, since I've been here, your first series, I believe, was Mark in the morning, and then Gabe is currently in Matthew. So how often...
And I've done John.
And you've done John, that's right. And so, you know, part of the question, like, how often do you rotate through a gospel? You know, okay, well, it's been 5 years since we've done a Mark. Is it okay to do Mark again, or is that too fresh? Do we need to look other places?
Yeah, and those are the sort of questions that one asks. And I think if you're in a congregation where there's a great turnover, I mean, I know congregations where every 5 years, you know, they're in college towns.
Yeah.
And 80% of the congregation turns over in 4 or 5 years' time.
Right.
And there are cities where, D.C., for example, where people come just for 2 or 3 years and then leave because otherwise they'd be insane.
Yeah, right.
You know, so the turnover there, the answer there is different.
Yeah.
Ours is such a stable congregation.
Praise Lord, yeah.
That the answer is somewhat different. But I'm eager to hear from Brian because he always has wise answers.
Yes. Okay, before I get to Brian, one other question. Is there a series or a book as you look over kind of your preaching, teaching life where you're like, yeah, I really enjoyed that. That was a good series or preach through that particular book and I really enjoyed it.
In 40 something years of preaching, I've probably preached the entire New Testament. I can't think of a book that I've not preached on. And I've preached on most of the Old Testament. Surprisingly, I have never preached through Exodus or Deuteronomy.
Hmm.
Or Numbers.
Hmm.
I have done Leviticus and Genesis.
Hmm.
So there are books that I've yet to tackle.
Right.
And I've done the Song of Solomon, but I won't do it a second time.
Right. You only do that once.
I'm sorry I missed that.
There's a book.
Yeah, there's a book.
And I told you that I started Jeremiah and quit.
Yeah.
You became the weeping prophet.
So. Right. But to answer your question.
Yes.
I mean, I do think that I always enjoy preaching a gospel, no matter which one it is. I've done it once, but I was young when I did it. But I would love to do Romans, but I'm terrified to do it because Sinclair did it.
Right.
And I couldn't do it that well. So, but I would love to preach through Romans. But I think the book I enjoyed preaching on the most was Revelation.
Mm. Did you do that while you were here?
Yes.
Okay.
And I also did it in Jackson.
In Jackson, while you were the evening guy. Man.
How was the feedback from the congregation?
You know, there are always folk who have different points of view,
you know.
And there are always folk with detailed questions. And I preached like a chapter at a time going through Revelation. Because I think that's the way to do it, the big picture rather than all of the little details.
Mm. I remember you were preaching through Ezra and Nehemiah and in Jackson. And as a part of the bulletin, there was a handout that was like the wall, if I remember correctly. And it was so helpful. And I don't know why we would have talked about this. I don't think I was back at seminary at that point getting my MDiv. But I remember Ligon saying how impressed he was. And he wouldn't have thought to have included a handout in preaching. But it was really, really helpful. And I don't know anyone else who could preach Ezra and Nehemiah and make it as engaging as you made it in that series.
You know, I think it was the 12 gates. And it's hard to describe that. It's far easier just to give them a printout and say, look, this is what he's actually talking about.
Right, right.
And since we're not the drop-down screen church.
Right. Won't ever be. Yeah.
Nor will we be. Yeah.
As Synod proved last week, because the only thing on the screen was what you could see anyway.
Yeah, right, exactly. It did not help one bit. One bit. All right, Brian, how about you, brother? When it comes to picking a topic or a series, how do you go about selecting?
Thank you for the question, Josh and Derek. Thank you for the kind words. I'm sitting here basking in your wisdom. You've done this a lot longer than I have, and I agree with everything you just said. I like to preach through books back when I was a senior pastor and would try to alternate the Old Testament, New Testament as much as possible. And when there were long books, like Genesis, for example, I would try to preach through shorter sections of that, like Life of Abraham, Life of Joseph, that kind of thing, and come back to it later. One-offs are a little more of a challenge. I like when we do Wednesdays at First and Wednesday nights occasionally where Derek will pick a snappy series and assign us a portion.
Yep.
That's always a neat, fun kind of challenge to jump in and dive into a passage that's been assigned to you that you didn't necessarily pick, but it's fun.
You're about to be assigned.
Oh, good.
Because we're starting up Wednesday at First.
That's right.
I saw that. I'm so excited.
And the oil change. So I'm going to do the first one, but I'm waiting for Lawton to return to...
to assign the rest?
Yeah.
Beautiful. I love the oil change motif.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to that.
I need an oil change.
You and me both.
Don't we all?
Yes. But with one-offs, I try to choose a passage in which the Lord has been penetrating my own heart about something. The Holy Spirit's been just going to the core of who I am and exposing my heart or showing me new insight on a passage that I've read all my life but never saw quite that way. So I try to end up in passages like that. I never want to preach, as they say, an unknown or unfelt Christ, to have it be fresh, what the Holy Spirit is showing me at that period of my life. But that's kind of my method of choosing a topic, and it's always so difficult. I think you and I have talked about this, Josh. It's you want to get it right, you know.
Yeah, it's maddening you've got, I think I said this last time, you got a sea of wonderful texts, and like how do you pick one? And maybe it's a personality thing, I don't know, but it, like when I pick one, it's like eliminating all the others.
Exactly.
And they're all such good options.
Yeah,
it's tough.
Which is the saving grace. I guess you can't get it wrong.
That's right.
It's all good. It's all the Word of God. It's all breathed out by Him. But it's a challenge that I continue to enjoy and relish, particularly, Derek's talked about this congregation, just the eagerness, the willingness to learn and be taught. It's really a pleasure to preach to this congregation.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite? So you were talking about the times that Derek picks a topic or a grouping of texts and then we get assigned. Have you had a favorite one of those so far that you've done that you thought was?
Yes. Thank you for asking. Derek had a series about numbers. I can't remember what the name of the series was, but the one I ended up with was Seven Washes when Naaman is healed from leprosy. And, I'd never preached on that before.
Yeah.
But it was, almost overly familiar from my childhood.
Yeah.
So it's fun to dive in and really plow through that passage and try to teach it well. So.
Yeah. Wednesday afternoons are so fun, not only because the group there and you get to be with them and the food is fantastic, but it also lends itself to a little bit of experimentation in this realm where we can try and put, okay, these eight texts together, these things that I don't know that you would do in a Sunday sermon. And so one of the ones that we did, and it was the summer that Caleb was born. So this would have been summer of 16. It was a series on relatively familiar topics from an angelic perspective.
Oh, wow.
Right? Do you remember this, Derek? And so Derek did the first two, and then Derek was out teaching or preaching Ligonier or something like that. And so I was assigned the third one. I don't think I have ever been more creatively taxed, but it was an incredibly fun thing to do, to use storytelling and narration and just features of maybe even my brain and teaching that I wasn't used to. I'm just more expository. This is what it says. This is how we apply it. I found that to be incredibly fun and a very refreshing, fun little series to do.
At the beginning of COVID, well, before COVID, just when COVID came about in middle of March, I had launched into a first-person series.
Yes.
And there were going to be 12 of them.
Right.
And I think I did two.
Yeah. And then we shut down.
And I really enjoyed them. I was having
loads of fun.
Blast, because yeah. I'd never done this ever before.
Right.
But my wife hated them. And I've told her, should I restart this series? And she says, no.
I've been wondering if you're going to go back to that.
Yeah.
Rosemary vetoed
it. It was something I'd never done.
Yeah.
There's a famous preacher, homiletician in the 20th century who did these. Mm. And I'd never heard them. But it was fascinating telling your life story as though you were that person. And those who like stories, I think, liked them.
Yeah.
It was a bit weird, you know, when you confessed to murdering somebody.
I'm sure that was very weird. Cain.
Cain.
Yeah.
Especially when you start off with that.
Yeah.
You had our attention.
But I think it managed to teach something that the ordinary way of preaching does not. And certainly folk were riveted.
Hmm. Let's see. I am the least experienced in this of everyone on staff because I've never been a senior minister or full-time preacher in any capacity. So I tend to teach Bible studies or Sunday schools, or those are the places where I find texts. And those, for me, are often just, like you said, it's just preaching through a section of text or preaching through a book of the Bible. I think my last book that I preached through at the Bible study that I was running was Amos, and just really enjoyed Amos. And they're always, you know, I think I said this last time, was there are texts that I love and there are texts that I haven't taught yet. So I didn't know I loved Amos until I got into teaching Amos. I'm like, wow. This is so amazing and refreshing. But when it comes to like preaching now where we do one-offs, there's probably a two-week run-up where I've got like, ooh, this text. Ooh, but what about that text? Ooh, but what about that text? Ooh, but what about that text? And
same.
And I've got like four or five texts that I'm kind of juggling with, and I'll think I've got one text picked in kind of a three-point series, and then something about another text will like just grab my attention. And so I don't know that I have yet a formulation for this. It's almost like the Holy Spirit helping me, you know, three or four texts kind of in a pool. And then at some point, and Melanie has to help me at sometimes. I'm like, I'm thinking this text. She goes, Josh, you just have to pick one, right? Just pick one. I'm like, oh, but this one would be great for this, and this one's great for that, and that psalm's great for those who are suffering through this sort of thing. But then there's, just pick one, Josh. Right. And so, all right, Lord, let's go here. And he always seems to bless that sort of endeavor. I'm somewhat afraid that people are going to realize that half the time it's a text that's been in the Robert Murray McShane reading plan in the past 3 weeks, because that's my daily Bible reading is the Robert Murray McShane reading plan. And it's a text that's, when I've read it, done something to me. It's convicted me. It's vivified me some way. It's done something in my life. And the excitement that I feel for that text, I want to communicate to those around me. Not much of a, I don't have near the sort of grid, you know, that other people have for choosing a text. But
I appreciated your Habakkuk sermons.
Oh, thank you. You know, and I did not do Habakkuk 3, right? I did Habakkuk 1 and 2, and then that's it. We pulled up short. So maybe someday I'll come back and do Habakkuk 3. Derek, would you mind praying for us?
Father, we thank you. Thank you for our church family. Pray for those in lockdown still, and Pray for our seniors especially, and that you'd reach out to them, touch their hearts today, and bless us as a congregation. Help us to serve you well. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.